All right, Joe, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Sorry, having some technical difficulties this morning. Not exactly sure what's going on, but all right. Anyway, we'll say this, begin by thanking all of our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Beis. To thank the Schwartzman family for dedicating all of the Shimon Drushos this month in memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef ben Meir Zichron Levracha, Leah Sol and the schus of her daughter Ilana Bas Esther's successful surgery, the complete Refuah Shleimah, and for the safe return of all of our hostages and the Hatzlach of our soldiers. Maya Hoffman, in memory of her father Reuven ben Emmanuel Zichron Levracha, and on the merit of Hatzlacha, health, and joy for all of her family. And Yoel and Sarah Kelman, in honor of the birth of their son, and in memory of Staff Sergeant David Sasuna Shemi Komdama. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshama Slav and Aliyah, the families in the Chama, all those who need a refuah, should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. Our hostages, Emir Sashem, should be returned home, and our soldiers should be successful. Bechol Maasei Yedehem. So with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Lamed 30. And we are picking up Emir Sashem on Chav Tes on the base, 20 lines up from the bottom. Mechina Mafki Sefer Torah Eitzel Chavero. So remember, again, we're speaking about the idea of the halachos concerning if you find the Sefer, find the Sefer Torah, you find the Sefer, a scroll form. What are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? So the Gemara, remember, again, quoted a long brisa yesterday, and then the Gemara quoted the case if a person deposits a Sefer Torah with someone else for safekeeping, golulo kol shnei asar chodesh, so you roll it once every 12 months, poschol v'korebo. Ultimately, again, you could open it up and read from it. So the Gemara says, maya vidite gabe, what do you mean that you're allowed to open it up and read it? In other words, let's say generally, when you're depositing something with someone, so it's for safekeeping. Mm-hmm. It's not halacha l'maisa for any type of use. So what's the pshat? The Gemara says, v'su, im bishvilo pascha aser. Furthermore, again, if it's true, as we said before, that you can never use the item for your own benefit, ha'amrit poscha v'korebo. You just said that when you deposit the Sefer Torah with an individual, he's allowed to open it up and read it. So what's going on over here? This is what it means to say, im kishu golo poscha v'korebo mutter, im bishvilo poscha aser. What it means is like this. Since you have an obligation to safeguard the Sefer, so halacha l'maisa, again, halacha l'maisa, if you go ahead and you open it up and you read it, so if you're doing it for your own purposes, that's aser. But if in the course of caring for the Sefer, you open it up and you learn it and you read it, then that is mutter as well. In line of what we learned before. Sumchus Omer, Sumchus says, b'chadash shloshim yom b'yashan shnei masar chodesh. So Sumchus says, depending on the type of Sefer it is, will determine on the level of upkeep that is required. If it's a new Sefer, then it needs to be rolled once every 30 days. If it's an old Sefer, once every 12 months. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Echazeh v'Echazeh shnei masar chodesh. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, whether it's a new Sefer or an old Sefer, once every 12 months. I, the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Elazar is saying the same thing as a Tanakama. Ela ima, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Echazeh v'Echazeh shloshim yom. Notice what does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say? Both a new Sefer and an old Sefer require rolling once every 30 days. Avol, lo yomo bo betchil of lo yikra yacher imo. I'm supposed to remember again, the Mishnah said that when you find the Sefer, so what can't you do? You can't learn something new for the first time inside of that Sefer, because there's a concern that you're going to spend a bit too much time, you know, with the Sefer open, since it's a brand new topic, nor can you have someone else learn with you. What's the concern? Someone else learning with you? You know, the pulling of the scroll in different directions, two people together, could cause it to rip. Says Gmar Orminu, Lo yikra parsha v'yishna, v'lo yikra bo parsha v'yitargim, v'lo yiftach bo yoser megimol dapim. So as the Braisa said, when looking in the Sefer, and when learning in the Sefer, you should only learn something once. You shouldn't learn something and review it. Right? You shouldn't learn something and translate it. These are all things which would cause the Sefer, or require the Sefer, to be opened for a prolonged amount of time. Furthermore, never open up the scroll more than three columns. V'lo yikaru bo shlosha b'nei adam mikrach echad. And nor can you have three people learning from one column. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Hashnayim korin. That what you see from here is that Allah l'maisa sounds like two people can learn from the Sefer at the same time. Amar Rabbi Elokashya, kan b'inyan echad, It's not a contradiction. One is talking about in two topics, one is talking about in one topic. What does this mean? So we'll say what you can't have is two people learning from the same topic, i.e. the same column. That's where there's a concern that what's going to happen? They're both trying to see the same thing. So because they're both trying to see the same thing, what's going to happen? They're going to end up pulling the scroll in different directions, and you can end up ripping it. If, however, they are looking at two different columns, that means the sefer could be open. Not three columns, because you can't have a sefer open that far, but two columns. You could open it up a little bit. Then halacha lemaisa, that is mutter. Because again, we're not worried about any type of ripping that may occur in the sefer. Incredible. Let's go back there. Says the Gemara. Matzah ksus, menara echa l'shloshim yom. Furthermore, again, if you find an article of clothing, you have to shake it out. You have to shake it out once every 30 days. Gemara says, L'meimra, dinir ma'alila. Is that to say that shaking something out, that shaking out a garment is beneficial? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Mishi yesh lo gardi v'soch beso, inar ksusu b'chol yom. I, Rabbi Yochanan, said that if halacha l'maisa, if you have a weaver living inside your house, then halacha l'maisa, you could shake out the weave, you could shake out the garment every single day. Wasn't letting me edit the daf number. I don't know why. So the Gemara says, see, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, shaking out a garment every day doesn't work. To which the Gemara says, Amri b'chol yom kashile echa l'shloshim yom malile. The truth is that halacha l'maisa, going ahead and doing it every day is difficult. It's not good for the garment. But doing it once every 30 days ultimately is good for the garment. Ibai sema lo kasha. Ha b'chat. So we'll say, so again, possibility one is shaking out the garment every day is detrimental. Shaking out the garment ultimately, again, once every 30 days is beneficial. Okay. Ibai sema. The other possibility is, the Gemara says, lo kasha ha b'yada ha b'chutra. Other possibility is one is by hand and one is by stick. Meaning what? That shaking it out by hand is beneficial. Kind of hitting it with a stick and causing it to get aired out like that, that's detrimental. The other possibility is lokasha, habida amra, habida kisna. It could also depend on the material of the garment. Wool versus linen. Okay, good. So now what's going to happen over here, since the Gemara quoted Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara is going to quote some other pieces of Rabbi Yochanan, other pieces of life advice from Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says as follows: I'm Rabbi Yochanan, kasa de harshin, velo kasa de poshin. Well, so this is a fascinating Gemara. It is better to drink a cup of sorcery than it is to drink a lukewarm cup. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Kasa de harshin. Rashi says, Noach lishtos kos shal machshefos mikos shal mayim poshin. So Zaza, it is better to go ahead and drink a cup that literally, again, was used for incantations, for sorcery, than it is to drink a cup of lukewarm liquid. So apparently lukewarm water is incredibly detrimental. Furthermore, this only said in a metal utensil. But an earthenware utensil is not a problem. Furthermore, again, even in a metal utensil, that's only if the liquid was never brought to a boil. About the tzavitz, less lanba. But if it was brought to a boil, even if it subsequently cooled down, it's not a problem. Furthermore, again, this is only when, let's say, it's just plain water, right? But and there were no additives added into it. About the tzavitz, less lanba. But I'm sorry, about shada bat siva, less lanba. But if there are some additives added into it, ultimately, again, then it's not a problem. He'll say, it was very taken by this Gemara. Thinking of this just a moment. What Sefer Rabbi Yochanan is saying is the worst thing in life is a cup of lukewarm liquid. Worst, right? He'll say, what's the pshat with something that's lukewarm? What's the pshat with something that's lukewarm? As they say, nishtahin, nishtaher. Right? It's not hot, it's not cold. He'll say, meaning it doesn't take a side. It doesn't identify with anything specific. It's kind of in the middle. Just floating around. It's not too cold. It's not too hot. It's nothing. It's nothing. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what? The worst thing in life is a lukewarm cup of water. You know, at least if it's a sorcerer's cup, you know what you're dealing with. You know what it is. And when you know what you're dealing with in life, so you can go ahead and navigate it. The lukewarm cup, it's It's not aligned with anything. It doesn't stand for anything. It doesn't take a stand principle position this way, that way. It's kind of just in the middle. And I'll say, how many times in life do we take just a tepid, lukewarm approach to existence? I do what I have to do, right? I get by. I get by. I don't push myself, right? I don't exert myself. I don't really engage in anything that's all that difficult. I do what I have to do to make it through. Whether it's I do what I have to do to make it through my marriage, I do what I have to do to make it through my career, I do what I have to do to make it through my Yiddishkeit, everything is lukewarm. It's not hot, it's not cold. Rabbi Yochanan says, terrible. Terrible. Sometimes in life it's better to crash and burn because you made a mistake, because at least you know where you're holding, rather than to go ahead and be that cup of lukewarm liquid. Because you know the incredible part about being lukewarm? You could be lukewarm for 120 years. You could be lukewarm. Most people, I think, exist in this world as a lukewarm cup of water. You could get by. You could get by. You could be just fine. But you fail to fully accomplish. Such an incredible Gemara. All right, let's go back there. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Misha, that was a great Gemara over here. Misha niach be tzivya. Tziva. I'm sorry, I lost the... Sorry, Rabbi Yochanan, sorry. Misha niach lo aviv maos harbe. Sorry. Somebody's father left him a large fortune. Verotza la abdan. And you want to lose your money. You know, say, you know, somebody just said this to me yesterday. They said, if you want to make a big fortune in Eretz Yisrael, what do you need to do? Sorry, if you want to make a small fortune in Eretz Yisrael, what do you need to do? Come with a big one. I come with a big one. I said, you're not allowed to say stuff like that, because the truth is you're not allowed to say anything negative about Eretz Yisrael in general. Even if it's a joke, you're not allowed to say it. That's the Chet HaMeraglim. Anyway, the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, but what happens if your father left you a large amount of money and you want to find a quick way to go ahead and use up all that money, what should you do? Veratzala abdan. Now, I will say, by the way, you look at this and you say to yourself, that is the most ridiculous statement in the world, right? Who would ever inherit a large fortune and want to go ahead and squander it? So I will say, just understand that it sounds crazy. We do this every day. Every single morning I wake up, Moda'ani lefanecha melechai v'chayom, shech ezarta bi nishmasi. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you've just given me an incredible fortune. I have an neshama. I have a fresh start. I am b'tzelem Elokim. I have a nitzutz Elokim mima al mamish. I have all this stuff. I have a great fortune. And I will say, what do I often do over the course of the day? I squander it. I make this mistake. I do this thing. Things that I just don't have to be doing. And decisions that I don't have to be making, and directions I don't have to be going in. And by the time I come to the end of the day, I'm not poor. But what started out as a great day of fortune, unfortunately, so much of that has just been squandered with pettiness, with silliness, with foolishness that didn't need to be done. So I'll say, and then if I were to take a step out of myself and recognize how foolish I'm behaving. How foolish I'm behaving. Why do I get engaged in the small, petty, interpersonal stuff? Why do I go ahead and engage in behaviors that I shouldn't be engaging in? Why do I do the things that I shouldn't be doing? I got such an incredible fortune at the beginning of the day, and now by the end of the day, unfortunately, I've wasted so much of it. So incredible, I will say. Sometimes, you know, when we look at things outside of ourselves, we're like, oh, that's crazy, that's ridiculous. And then I realize, oh, you know what, I guess I kind of do that as well. Tremendous most rascals. So, if you inherit a lot of money and you want a quick way to go ahead and squander it, what should you do? Number one, yilbash bigay pishtan, wear linen clothing. Yishtamish b'kliz chuchis, use glass utensils. The yiskar polim v'yishewan. Hire workers and don't watch them. Don't oversee them. Now, the Gemara says, what does this mean? Yilbash b'kliz pishtan, b'kisna romisa. So first of all, the linen clothing is talking about Roman linen, which apparently was very fine, but was used up very quickly. Utilize glass utensils. Bizukisach yurta, this white glass, which apparently was very fragile. The iskarpol and vayeshema, and hire workers and don't sit with them. Targuma top of lamid biture dinafish psidayu. Specifically, a team of oxen. If you hire ox, you hire a team of oxen. You have a team of oxen and you have workers. So I will say oxen you have to be very careful with. Rashi points out why. Oxen were often used for plowing, even in vineyards. Where in any field, though, but it sees Rashi's examples in vineyards, What happens if you don't pay attention to the oxen, to where they're going? They veer off and they could ruin the vines. And not only they're not planting it, but they could destroy the fields. So the idea over here is there are certain types of workers that you really have to babysit. Certain types of workers that you really have to be on top of. So we'll say, Salah Chavaisa. We'll say, by the way, what you also begin to see is like each of these also represent different areas of life, right? Your clothing. If you don't oversee, if you don't really pay attention to your gashmius could overtake you, right? Your cup, your glass, perhaps again, that could even refer to your consumption, right? If you're not careful with your consumption, that could go ahead and overtake you. Ultimately, again, the Torah. So it's the same idea also. The oxen also represent like animalistic things, gashmius things. Seems to be that the common theme over here is if you're not careful with your gashmius in this world, with your clothing, with your glass, and with your oxen, it could easily overtake everything and become the primary pursuit in your life. So you begin with a fortune of ruchnius. Gashmius is beautiful if used in moderation, but if the gashmius ultimately again becomes the primary pursuit of your life, you could go ahead and ruin and lose that entire beautiful fortune. Incredible. So much in today's daf. Let's go back to Rabbi Lamina with Aleph 38, second line down. So remember again, what happens if you want to go ahead and you want to air out the garment, right? And you want to go ahead and do it for the benefit of the garment and for your benefit. I was about to say, so it's mutual benefit. So is that permitted? So Tashma, Shotcha Litzarka, so the Mishnah said, you can air out the garment for the benefit of the garment. Litzarka in, Ha Litzarka, Lo. So we'll say, for the benefit of the garment, yes, but for my benefit and the garment's benefit, you can't do. So in other words, we'll say, sounds like from the Mishnah, mutual benefit is Aser. Emosefa, look at the end of the Mishnah, Va lo lich vodo. And the Mishnah says you can't go and utilize the garment for your own honor, for your own benefit. So we'll say, it sounds like when can't I use the garment for my own benefit? But if there's mutual benefit, it should be much. The Mishnah says, you're right. From the Mishnah itself, you can't really glean any conclusion. So Tashma, lo yishtechena lo agabi mita v'lo agabi magud litzarcha. Ava yishtechena agabi mita v'agabi magud litzarcha. So we'll say, if you're holding onto a garment, you can't spread it out on the bed or on a peg. Ultimately, again, for your own benefit, but you can do it for the benefit of the garment. Nizdamnu lo archim. Let's say I have guests who come over. Lo yishtachena v'lo agabe mita v'lo agabe magud. Bein litzarcho, bein litzarcho. So we'll say, interestingly enough, if I have guests over, I can't spread out the garment on a bed or on a peg, whether it's for my benefit or for the garment's benefit. So the Gemara says, shiny house, in that case is different. Why? The mikla kalila. Because Rabbi says spreading out the garment when guests are over is going to destroy the garment. How so? Imishum eino, imishum ganvi. Either because of ayin hara, or ultimately, again, because of it invites theft. It invites theft. In other words, Rabbi says, what you have to be very careful with is in general, when you have someone over at your house, going ahead and putting stuff out, it could invite ayin hara. We've spoken about ayin hara many times. I will say, what is ayin hara? When I have something that makes someone else feel bad, or I go ahead and display a bracha, or talk about a bracha of mine in a way that makes another person feel deficient, or in a way that makes another person feel sad that they don't have that same thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do I need to give this bracha? To silver for if he's just using it to make someone else feel bad. Kadosh Baruch Hu then takes away that bracha. Or, on a more practical level, ganavim, theft. Right? If you're showing something off, either theft through the people who are there, or that word gets out that you have this particular item and it can lead to theft. Okay? Tashma, hechnis l'rav kavadasha, share. So we'll say, so what we're still trying to figure out is like this. Here's what I know. If I have this item, obviously, I'm obligated to go ahead and air it out and do whatever I need to do for the benefit of the garment, right? That I know, that's number one. Number two, I know that I can't go ahead and put out that garment or shake it out or leave it out for my benefit. What's our question? Mutual benefit. Can I go ahead and put out the garment or shake out the garment in a way that benefits me and that benefits the garment? So that's what we're trying to figure out over here. So Gemara says, Tashma, interesting case here. Hechnisa l'rafka v'dasha k'shera. So we'll say, now listen to this. that Rashi points out over here, talking about the Egla Arufa. Remember again, Egla Arufa is the calf, the decapitated calf. You find the body between two cities. We don't know who killed the individual. You bring a young calf that has never done any work to a dried up riverbed. The elders of the closest city come out and they decapitate the calf, wash their hands over the decapitated calf. Yadenu lo shafchu damze. Our hands are clean, our hands are right. We did not, chas v'shalom, cause the death of this person. So we'll say, so obviously, for Egla Rufa to be used, halacha l'maisa, it cannot have been engaged in work. In work. So the Gemara says, hichnisa Ravka, what happens if you put the calf in a harness, like in a yoke, together with its mother, right? Bishil shatinok. So bishil shatinok v'tido, sorry, bishil tashma, hichnisa l'ravka v'dasha k'shera. So we'll say, if you put the egla rufa, the young calf, in the harness with its mother, in order that the animal should nurse, not to work, or that the animal should nurse, ultimately, again, it's still kosher. Bishol shetinok v'tidosh, pasul. If you put it in the harness so that it should nurse and work, it's pasul. Ay v'ha hacha, t'litzarcho l'tzarcho hu v'katani psula. So we'll say, this is a case of what? L'tzarcho l'tzarcho. Right? I'm putting it in the harness so that it should nurse. Right? So that it should nurse. That's l'tzarcho. Right? And the sarcho, and it's also for my benefit because it's thrashing, and you see that it's possible. So what do you see from here? Any case of mutual benefit is going to be asr. Tush Gemara says, no. Shiny hasam da amar kra, asher lu ubad ba mikomakom. We'll say egla ruf is different. Why? Because the pasuk says you have to use a calf that was not worked. So what you see over here is it cannot have had any work done with it, regardless. So once you're going ahead and putting it in their harness and it's threshing, it's usher. If that's the case, if that's the case, well, why isn't the first case problematic as well? In other words, case number one is I put it in the harness for the sole goal of nursing, not for any threshing. But it ended up threshing a little bit. So why isn't that problematic? To which as well says, it's very interesting. Ella, Sigmar says, ha lo dami ela laha, because that first case is really comparable to this case. This nan, shachan ala of kshera. So also listen to this. If you have an egla rufa, and ultimately again, and halacha lamaisa, this is actually, Gemara is switching gears here a little bit. This is not actually talking about egla rufa, this is talking about paraduma. But the truth is, paraduma and egla rufa have a similar halacha, and that's what? Neither of them could have been worked. If they've been worked, then ultimately, again, they become unfit puzzle for their particular designation. So also listen to this. If you have a paraduma and a bird rested on the back of the paraduma, so ultimately, again, kshera, the animal is still kosher. Now, listen, what's the novelty in that? Even though when the bird lands on the back of the paraduma is supporting its weight, so to speak, nevertheless, it's still going to be kosher. Allah Allah Zohar, however, again, if, a male animal mated with it, then psula. It's going to be possible. Now, what's the pshat? So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, my taima, kidra papa, damra papa. Listen to this. Iksiv ubad, vikarina ubad, hava amina filo amamela. And I will say, if the pasuk would have said ubad, ubad means work was done with it. Say, if the pasuk would have said ubad, and we would have read it as ubad, then what? Hava amina filo amamela. But say that would mean any work done with the animal, even if the owner was totally uninvolved, but anything the animal was utilized for would essentially render it unfit. Okay. Iksiv avad v'karinan avad. If the pasuk said avad and we read it as avad, avad means that the owner orchestrated the work. So if it would have been written as avad and read as avad, hava amina ad da avad ba ihu. I would have said the animal is only unfit if the owner actively works it. Here's the interesting part. Hashta dichsev avad vikarinan ubad. So I'll say now that the word is written as avad, which means that the owner works the animal, but it's read as ubad. So avad means about say intentionality. But it's read as ubad, which means if any work is done with it, then what does that mean? It's ubad dumya da avad. So I'll say in order for the animal to become unfit, it has to be ubad duma da avad, which means what? Any type of work done with the animal could potentially invalidate it if the owner would have been technically happy with the result. Ma'avad dinechale, af ubad dinechale. So Rabbi said, just like avad ultimately again means that the owner wants it, so too ubad means that the owner wants it. So Rabbi said, what comes out both for paraduma and egla rufa is like this. Halacha l'maisa, obviously if the owner intentionally works either of those animals, then halacha l'maisa is unfit. It's unfit. If work is done with the animal without the knowledge of the owner, then halacha l'maisa, if it's something that in a regular case the owner would have been happy with, that makes the animal unfit. It's as if there was intentionality. If it's something that the owner wouldn't want or doesn't care about, then that doesn't invalidate the animal. So for example, you know, the bird landing on the back of the animal is not work. Why? Because the owner wouldn't normally care about that. Similarly, again, above said, the act of placing the egla arufa in the yoke with its mother, where the owner's intention is only for the animal to nurse, even though the animal does some threshing, that doesn't invalidate the egla arufa. But yet, again, the male animal having relations with, let's say, the paraduma, would invalidate the animal. Why? Because in a general sense, that would be something that the owner would be happy with. Okay, fine. So I'll say, so I'll just point out over here, the Gemara doesn't seem to resolve the situation yet about mutual benefit. Like that, remember, that was our kasha. So the Gemara doesn't seem to have resolved that yet. Let's go weiter. So we'll say, so remember again, the Mishnah then went through, depending on the object that you find and the material that it's made of, the Gemara gave us guidelines, ultimately, again, for how to care for the object while it is in my rishos. So Tana Rabbanan, Hamotzi kliyeitz, Mishtar Mishtar Mishol Shelo Yerkavu. If you find wooden utensils, you could use it in order that it doesn't rot. Uklina Choshes, Mishtar Mishtar, and Bechamin Avalo Ayidea Ar. Sukkapi utensils, you could use it with warm items, but you can't use it on fire. Bebnesha Mashrikan, because that'll diminish the utensil. Klei Kasef, silver utensils. Mishtar Mishtar Mitzon, Avalo Bechamin. You could use it with cold, but not with hot. Bebnesha Mashrikan, because that blackens it. Magrifos v'kardumos, shovels and axes. Mishtar Mishtar Merach, Avalo Bekashem, Mishtar Mefchisan. You could use it again with soft items, but not with hard items, because we'll say obviously using a shovel or an axe against a hard item is going to diminish the object itself. Klei zav, klei zchuchis, gold objects. So glass objects, lo yiga bahen ad shi yavo elio. Ultimately, again, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Now we'll say, Yankee Stam actually asked this question after Schindler's. What does that mean? Don't touch until elio anabi comes. First of all, again, we'll say, Beforehand, yesterday's daf, we also saw, you're not obligated to go ahead and retain a lost object forever. After a certain point in time, you're allowed to keep it. So again, I think the Pasha Pshat is, the Gemara is using hyperbolic Lashon to make a point over. In other words, there is no tipol, there is no involvement needed in the care for these objects. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. There's nothing to do with it. There's no care. And the Gemara is trying to make a point. Now, why is he trying to make a point? Because again, halacha l'maisa, if you were, so to speak, to utilize them in the course of trying to care for them, if something would be happened to that, you would be chayy for that, right? You'd be liable for that. The lashon of don't touch it until Mashiach comes is an exaggerated lashon there to make a point. There is absolutely no care that you need to exert for this utensil. All you need to do is keep it somewhere secure and leave it alone. All right, Kider Sha'amro Ba'aveda, Kach Amro Bepikadon. Rabbi said the same halachas that apply to finding and caring for a lost object also apply to caring for a pikadon, a deposit. The Gemara says, Pikadon, Maya Vidite Gabe. Rabbi said, what are you talking about? By a pikadon, Rabbi said, Bepashtus Arabe. In other words, Rabbi said, when someone deposits something by me, I have one simple job. What's my job? What's my job? Keep it safe. Keep it safe. Who says that as a pikadon that I have any obligation of like maintenance of the object? To which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? No, what is the case? The case over here is where somebody deposited something with me and then the owner went overseas. So in that case, where the owner is gone for a prolonged amount of time, I do have an obligation to go ahead and maintain the object. Okay, interesting halacha. Finally, let's go back there. Matzah sock, o kupa. So now we come to a very interesting sugi over here. So literally translated, if I find a sack or a utensil or anything that it is not my derech to pick up. So now we're going to be introduced to the concept, ultimately, of Eino Lefi Kavodo. A concept that, you know, up until this entire time, we've been speaking about the mitzvah of Hashavas HaMeidah. You find a lost object, you take it, you hold on to it. So we've been talking about, how long do you have to hold on to it? What's your level of liability? How do you care for it? How do you maintain it? So we'll say, there's another halacha. What's the other halacha? There are some times where if you find a lost object, you are permitted to not take it. You're permitted to turn away. Why? Because there are some times where ultimately, again, the taking of a particular object or the picking up of a lost object is an affront to my personal dignity, is a diminution to my kavod, to my honor. And in those circumstances, I am allowed to go ahead and simply pass by the object and not pick it up. So here we go. So the Gemara says, behind me, first off, where do you know that concept? And I will say, it's interesting over here because I would have thought there's a mitzvah Hashavas HaMeidah. The mitzvah Hashavas HaMeidah is when you encounter a lost object, take it, find the owner. I would have said, who cares about your personal dignity in that case? There's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah. Salach l'maisa, do the mitzvah. So where do we see that there's this concept of Eino Lefi Kavodo, that sometimes when finding and maintaining and giving back the lost object is an affront to my personal dignity, that I don't have to do it? So the Gemara says, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, the Tana Rabbanan, the Tana Rabbanan, visalanta. So literally, again, you could turn away. Pamim sha'ata mis'alem upama shi'ata. Now, interestingly enough, the context of the pasuk is, if you see your friend's lost object, visalanta mehem, and you would be tempted to go ahead and turn away. So the Gemara says, tashev tashivim la'achicha, return it. So the Torah is telling you, don't turn away. But the fact that it's written in the Torah as you turned away indicates to us that there are circumstances in life where you could turn away from a lost object. There are times where you could turn away, times where you can't turn away. Okay, so both say second wide line. So how you coin vube sakvaras? Listen to these, both say, these are great cases. Let's say I'm a coin, I'm walking by, there's a lost object in a cemetery. So both say, obviously again as a coin, I can't go into the cemetery. Or about say, let's say again, there's a zakin. About say now a zakin means not just an elder, but like someone distinguished. So let's give a good example of this, right? So Reuven is a zakin, a talmid chacham, a zakin. He's walking down the road, and there's a sock. There's a sock on the road. So I will say, so bepashtos, it's not bakavadik for the zakin to pick up a sock, right, on the road to try to find the owner. Oh, Shaisa Malacha Shalom Meruba Mishal Chavera. So we'll say it's an interesting case. Or what happens? Let's say again, my time, what I do for a living is worth a lot of money. So we'll say, so what's gonna happen? If I have to start with an Aveda, it's gonna lose time that I could be on my profession. And let's say, you know, we'll say my profession, I charge a lot of money per hour, right? So Lamaisa again, it's going to cost me personally to go ahead. In other words, the loss that I will incur from having to deal with the Aveda is more than the value of the Aveda itself. So these are all examples. So these are all examples of ultimately situations where I would be exempt from going ahead and dealing with the lost objects. So let's analyze these. So the Gemara says, so for which of these cases do you need the pasuk? So we're talking about a case where there's a lost object in the cemetery, and the coin comes across it. We'll say, I don't need a pasuk for that. Pshita. It is obvious that the coin does not have to go into the cemetery to retrieve the lost object. Why? Hai asei, v'hai los asei, v'asei. It will say, retrieving the lost object is a positive commandment, right? Hashem teshivim la'achecha. Right? Ultimately, again, there's a positive mitzvah to go and retrieve lost objects. For a coin becoming tamei, Rabbi say, there's when a coin becomes tamei, there's a prohibition and a positive commandment. The positive commandment is kidoshim tiyu, and the prohibition, Rashi says, is lenefesh lo yitama. So, of course, again, velo asi ase v'dachi es lo sase v'ase. So, obviously, a positive commandment of Hashavas HaMeidah cannot set aside the positive commandment and the prohibition of not becoming tameh. Visu, furthermore, the Gemara says, Visu, lo dachinan isura mikameh mamona. Furthermore, again, I will say, we never set aside a prohibition in order to go out and fulfill a positive, lo dachinan isura mikameh mamona. We never set aside a prohibition, ultimately, again, before a case of mamon. So I don't need the pasuk for that case. Ella lishalo meruba mishal chavero. So I'll say, so what about the case, ultimately, again, of where, let's say, again, the loss I'm going to encounter, right, my loss in parnasa, is going to be more than the value of the aveda. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, nafka, don't Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. We'll say, Efes, Amud Beis, Efes, ki lo yevecha evyon. So we'll say, it's actually very beautiful. The pasuk says, Efes, ki lo yevecha evyon. We'll say, talking about the brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us. One of the brachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us is that there will be no pauper, right? Be no poor. Now the way the pasuk is where it is, Efes, ki lo yevecha evyon. Right, there will not be within you any poverty. What do you learn from that? Shelcha kodem l'shel kol adam. The Rebbe will say, my financial needs come before other people's financial needs. Chayecha Koldman. The idea will say that my needs, my life, comes before ultimately, again, the obligations that I have to others. The Rebbe will say, now what this means is, in a monetary sense, that I have a right to put my own financial needs in front of other people's financial needs. Which again is just a logical halacha of self-preservation. The same way that I can put my life in front of someone else's life, I can go to put my financial needs in front of someone else's needs. I will say now, again, just to qualify the scope of that, don't take from this, oh, you see, I don't have to give tzedakah. I don't have to give tzedakah because my financial needs come. No, that's not what it means. A yid is always obligated to give tzedakah. And I will say again, I'm obligated to push myself for tzedakah. And I'm even obligated to give more than I'm comfortable with. For tzedakah. That's what tzedakah is. Tzedakah is the one mitzvah where you're allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're allowed to say, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to push myself, and I'm confident that if I push myself to you, you're going to give it back to me. You can't do that with any other mitzvah, but you can absolutely do it with tzedakah. What it means in a case like this, I will say, where again, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, and if I do this, I'm going to suffer a loss that is greater than the value of the object, I'm not obligated to do that. That I'm not obligated to do. Halacha l'maaseh again, if by doing the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, I'm going to lose time, which is money. Not just time is money in general. But again, there is a quantifiable loss that is greater than the value of the lost object. I'm not obligated to do that. Elo l'zakein elo l'fi kvod. The rabbis say the pasuk itself is salamto. It's coming to teach you the case of zakein ve'en l'fi kvod. So if you have someone who is a Talmud Chacham, or someone who is a zakein, who has a certain stature, and the item that he found is beneath his dignity to pick up and to go ahead and return. So I remember I learned this sugi issue with Herschel Schachter, Shlita, and the example he gave, right? I'm remembering now, as I say. So the example is you're walking down the street and you find a pair of underwear. That was his example. Now, I'm not sure if you should pick that up regardless, right? Right. But la maisa, that was his example, right? That in other words, to see someone who's a zakein pick up an object like that, it doesn't work. So you can fill in the blank with whatever your imagination, you know, runs with. But la maisa, again, you have these cases where the lost object is simply something that is not, it's beneath the dignity of the finder. Okay, so what's the Gemara says, Vayta, Amar Rabba, Hikisha Chayiba. Now, here's what's interesting. As much as there are these cases of, let's say, what we call Zakin Ve'in Lefi Kvodo. So a Talmud Chacham, a Zakin, and picking up the object is beneath his dignity. So we'll listen to this. If, let's say, again, Hikisha, let's say, for example, it was, someone has a pet mouse that they lost. Right? So, Lemaisa, it's not Bakavadit. Actually, it's not a good example. Let's say someone lost a donkey, right? Using a donkey, right? And let's say for whatever the reason, it's Inulafi Kvodo for the Zakin to go ahead and deal with the donkey. So what does he do? He gives it a little zetz, he gives it a little slap, right? And it starts running towards the owner. If he caused it to move, then he's responsible for it. In other words, we'll say, the concept of Zakin of Inulafi Kvodo means like this. If it's beneath your dignity, then what? Don't get involved. The moment you get involved, then what? You're chayiv. So we'll say, by the way, another tremendous life you sowed. There are certain circumstances in which you should not insert yourself. But if you do insert yourself, you're involved. We'll say, this is my simbachol yom. right? Where people like they see something like, I know that I should not get involved in this, and then like they stick their pinky toe into it and like, or offer an opinion or offer a drach, and then this, and like, you know what, you know, I shouldn't get involved. Oh no, 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 right? Once you invite, yes, there are certain things, keep walking, do not insert yourself into this. But once you do, you're in. And once you're in, do not try to extract yourself by saying, not my problem. So Zakein ve'en lufi kvodo, okay, you don't have to get involved. You give the animal a little zest, and now you're in. You're in. You got involved, you're involved. Abaye, havi yosef kamei de rabba. So let's say Abaye was sitting in front of Rabba. Chaza lahanach izi de kaini. So let's say he said that there were a bunch of goats, like a group of goats, a chevra. Chevra of goats that apparently were lost. So what did he do? Shakal kala b'shadar. He took a clod of earth and he threw it at them, causing them to move. Amarlei. So what's it? So Rabbi said to him, "Echayvis buhu." Right? Kum adrinu. Now you're responsible. You caused them to move. You got involved. Now that you got involved, ultimately, again, go and find the owner. Incredible. Ibaylu. Darkal ha'aksa b'shadar. Darkal ha'aksa b'irmau. It was an interesting case over here. Let's say there's a zucking, but we'll just call them zucking. Right? And he finds an object, and it would be the kind of object that if he found in the fields, he would be obligated to return. But if he found it in the city, it would be beneath his dignity to go ahead and return it. So what's the chiluk between the field and the city? In the field, no one sees the zakin. And ultimately, again, in the city, people do. So let's use the sock, right? The pair of socks. So a zakin would not stop in the city to pick up a pair of socks. That would be beneath his dignity. But in the field where no one sees him, what's the big deal? So let's say, so now what's the shayla? So what's the halacha in such an item like that? Does he pick it up or doesn't he pick it up? So on one hand, we say, look, since halacha lemaisa, he wouldn't pick up this type of object in the city. Therefore, again, even in the field, he's exempt. Oh, I will say, maybe again, since in the field, he would have picked it up. And since he would pick it up in the field, he should be chayav to return it to the city as well. To which the Gemara says, teku. Okay, we'll have to shelve that one. Amar Rava, kol shebishalom machzir. So bishal chavero nami machzir. The kol shebishalom parik return, bishal chavero nami parik return. So it's an interesting case over here. Any situation, I will say, literally again, any situation, look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Okay, fine. So it's no Rashi. So I call Shabbat Shalom Machzir, B'Shal Chaver Nami. So I will say, anything that in your own object would be returned, you would have to do the same for your friend. Any situation where in your own circumstances, Parag B'Tayim, I will say, Parag B'Tayim is Prika Tina, means the obligation to unload and help to reload an animal. B'Shal Chaver Nami Parag B'Tayim. Okay, it's a great case. Rabbi Yossi, Hava Ka'azel Ba'archa, was traveling once on the road. Paga Be'ahu Chavra, he met a guy. Sahava Dari Pischa, the guy, Da'ufi. So I just want to say, ultimately again, so the guy was carrying, the guy, so again, just Rabbi Shlom, Rabbi Yossi, he's traveling on the road. He meets a guy, we'll just call him Guy. Guy is carrying a load of wood on his back. Okay, fine. So what happens? Ozvinu, v'kam misbach, amarle dalili. So now the guy took off his load to rest a little bit. Now he wanted to put back his load of wood back on his back. He turns to Rabbi Yishmael, and he says, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, can you help me reload? Like, can you help me put it back on my back? So now apparently Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi felt that this was eno lefi kavodo. He felt that this, now I just want to point out, the dignity of a Talmud Chacham, right, the kavod of a Talmud Chacham, is not his own. The kavod of a Talmud Chacham is the kavod of Torah, the kavod of Kodesh Baruch, which means that there are circumstances in which a Talmud Chacham is not permitted to forgive his kavod, because he's not forgiving his kavod, he's forgiving the kavod of Torah, he's forgiving the kavod of Kodesh Baruch. So it's just important to understand, this is not an ego thing. It's not an ego thing. This is a Talmud Chacham being conscious and aware that he is the ambassador of Torah and as such has to conduct himself the same way that a Talmud Chacham is not permitted to walk around with a stain on his shirt, right? Is not permitted to dress a certain way. Is not permitted to conduct himself a certain way. Why? Because his kavod is not his kavod of Torah. So we'll say, so now this guy asks Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, can you help me reload the wood on my back? Shmuel is like, this is probably not a good idea for me to do this. So I'll say, listen to what he does. It's incredible. Amar lei, So Amrale, Kama Shavin. Shavin says, tell me, how much is the wood worth? Amrale, Palga de Zuza. Half a Zuz. Shavin Yossi says, Yoivle, Palga de Zuza. Shavin Yossi gives him half a Zuz. You know, let me just buy it off you. Right, let me just buy it off you, and I'll buy it off you. That Rabbi say, again, that way Rabbi say, see, what's the beauty in this? The beauty in this is, Rabbi Yossi doesn't want to say, oh, no, I can't help you. He doesn't want to do that. On the other hand, he also can't compromise the covet of being a Tam Tchacham. So he figures, you know what? Let me just buy it. What does he do after he buys it? It's a relatively small amount of money. The Afkara, he made it Hefker. He made it Hefker. Rabbi say, now why does he make it Hefker? He doesn't want to make it look like he's trying to benefit from this transaction. So he makes it after. So listen, I watch this. Hadar Zachabahu. So Rabbi say, the guy says, this is Givaldic. Right? So what does he do? He got a half of Zos for the wood. Now it's Hefker. What does he do? The guy reacquires it. He goes back to Rabbi Shaul Yossi. And he says to him, do me a favor, can you help me reload the wood on my back? So what does Rabbi Shaul Yossi do? Hadar Yavle Palga. Rabbi says, you know what? Let me buy it off you. Rabbi says, I just want to point out over here, right? The guy is not a bad guy. He just what? He doesn't know what's going on over here. So he figures, okay, right? He bought it, he's mafkirit. Rabbi says, tremendous Mr. Haskell. It's a tremendous Mr. Haskell. Don't expect people to know what your intentions are unless you tell them. Unless you tell them both sides. How often does it happen in relationships? Again, whether it's a marriage, whether it's friends, I expect people to know what I'm thinking. Right? When one of my kids was little, it was actually my oldest daughter, when she was a little girl, she used to have this game. When the game was, tell me what I'm thinking. She'd say, Tati, tell me what I'm thinking. So I was like, so, you know, the funny part is, it's cute as a kid. But sometimes we become adults who play this same exact game as well. Tell me what I'm thinking. Tell me, you should. If you love me, you should know what I'm thinking. No, I love you very much. But the spirit of prophecy ended with the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't make a difference how much I love you. I still don't know what you're thinking. And I will say, the incredible part is, we so often get into interpersonal conflict because we think that people should know what my intentions are. Shabbos said, that's the most Haskell of this story. Rabbi Yossi has great intentions. I don't want to get involved in compromising the dignity, but I don't want to make a big thing, so let me just buy it, and I'll be mafkirit, because I don't want to benefit from it. Meanwhile, the guy is like, I have no idea what this rabbi is doing, but hey, I might as well chaper right over here. Like, this is fantastic. He's buying mafkir. This is fantastic. So second time around, he's ready to reacquire it again. So the Gemara says, Hadar Yavle Pal, go to Zuzah Va'afkara. So I'll say, so Rabbi Shaul Yossi does this again. He buys the wood off the guy and is mafkir it. Now this time, Chazi Dehava Gabay Lemehadil Miskibahu. He sees the guy coming to reacquire the wood. Amar le, lekule ama afkarincha, afkarinu, ulecha, lo afkarinu. So Shaul Yossi says to the guy, here's the way it works. This wood is hefker to everyone but you. No wood for you. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. First of all, umi have hefker ki agavna. Does that work? Does that work to make something hefker for everyone but one person? Vatnan, b'shamay orin hefker, la'aniyim hefker. Shaul says, b'shamay is like this. If you make something hefker only for the poor, it works. That's Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim Eino Hefker. Beis Hillel says, no, it's not Hefker. Achiu Hefker, La'anim u La'ashirim Kishmita. Beis Hillel says, that's not how the mechanism of Hefker works. Hefker only works if you make it Hefker for everyone. But if you just make it Hefker for someone, but not for everyone, it doesn't work. And I will say, obviously, we paskin like Beis Hillel. So Hefker only works if it's Hefker for everyone. So the Gemara says, really right. Rabbi Yossi made a hefker for everyone. I will say, it was hefker for everyone. But what was he doing? He was just saying words. In other words, obviously, if this guy wanted to reacquire it, it would work. But he told him, it's not hefker for you, in order to kind of scare the guy off from going in and acquiring it. Sigmar says, what's going on over here? Rabbi Shaul Rabbi Yossi, Zaki, Emeno, Lefik, Vodahava. Sigmar says, but I don't understand. Why did Rabbi Shaul Rabbi Yossi have to do this whole thing? Let him just say, hey guy, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm a Zakein, and it's Emeno, Lefik, Vodi. Just say it. It's halacha. Why do you have to go through this whole thing? buying it, mafkirt, buying it, mafkirt, it's hefker for everyone but you. Just say, the halacha is, I wish I could help you, but I'm a zakin, and it's inu lefi kavodi, it's beneath my dignity. I mean, say it in a way that doesn't look arrogant, but say it. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Reb Shlomo Yossi, lefnim meshuras hadin hudav. Rabbi said, it's incredible. Reb Shlomo Yossi was going lefnim meshuras hadin, and Rabbi said, this is absolutely incredible. What does it mean to go lefnim meshuras hadin? Lefnim meshuras hadin means to go above and beyond the expectations of halacha. So Rabbi said, there are expectations that we are obligated to meet. Basic and core expectations. Lefnim meshuras hadin means, in general in life, I don't want just to live up to expectations. I want to exceed expectations. That is called lefnim meshuras hadin. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk. The Gemara says, the Tanya of Yosef, Vodata lahem, ze beis chayehem. So we'll say, actually, before we get into this, I'll just mention, actually, let's read the pasuk. So we'll say, the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here is Vizartem eshem esachukim vesatoros, Vodata lahem esaderach yelchuba. This is Kashmir talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. You shall instruct them on the way that they shall traverse, that they shall walk on. Ves hamaisa asher yasun, and the actions that they will perform. So the Gemara says, Vodata lahem, you shall instruct them, ze beis chayehem. We'll say ultimately again, what does that refer to? That refers to beis chayehem. That refers to teaching people parnasa. There's an obligation to learn a parnasa, to learn a way to support yourself. Es haderech, the pathway, zug milas chasadim. This refers to chasad, asher yelchu, but that they should walk on, ze biker cholim. This refers to visiting the sick. Ba, zokvura. That refers to burial. Ves hamaisa, the action, ze hadin. This ultimately, again, refers to judgment. Asher yasun, zulifim mishuras hadin. This refers to going above beyond. So we'll have to see, the Gemara is going to darshan that braisa a little bit more tomorrow. But I will say, so we'll get into that more tomorrow. But lamaisa, this concept ultimately of lifim mishuras hadin, going above beyond, I'll just mention, Ramchal Rosh Chaim Sad Nesilas Yesharim, says, he speaks about chasidus. Chasidus. What does it mean to be a chassid? So the Rebbe says, a tzaddik is someone who lives up to expectations. Right? David Schwartz knows. Right? A tzaddik is someone who lives up to expectations. A chassid is someone who exceeds expectations. A chassid is someone who says, I know what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of me, what he expects of me. Now that I understand that, I could do more. So says Yechon Ramchal, ultimately a chassid is someone who lives lifnim meshuras hadin. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Hashem with this Gemara a little bit more tomorrow. I'll say also just an important announcement. We sent out from the shul yesterday about the campaign to write 180,000 letters. No, not us. Claudius wrote 180,000 letters to mark the 180th day of captivity of the hostages of the war. There are boxes. The link went out. You could do it online. If you want to do a physical copy, again, they're right here in the front. There's one basket of blank letters. You could just literally, it takes 20 seconds to sign your name, to write your address. If you've done it online, fantastic. If you haven't done it online, take it. And I would urge you, I'll say, again, this is not like a one per household thing. Everyone could sign. So even if you want, you could take a couple of copies home. Every member of your household should be signing these letters. Feel free. We're going to be bringing them, Mir Hashem, literally physically bringing them to Washington, D.C. Mir Hashem this coming Wednesday. Please participate in this important mitzvah. I'll say, Shkoyach, just a shkoyach for an incredible week of learning, incredible week of Gemara. Schos to do this with all of you. Halalai Chazbrachu should give us many more weeks together. Shkoyach. Give me one second, let me just shut this off. I have Razum, good Shabbos, everyone. Amen.